Hey, yo, Pro Wrestling Podcast listeners, help us out and click subscribe to show your support. And don't forget to pop over to the Titans of Podcast and Wrestling group page on Facebook if you are a Facebook user. While you're at it, if you want to become a Patreon member of the Pro Wrestling Podcast, go to patreon.com/Pro Wrestling Podcast to become a member of the Pro Wrestling Podcast family. We would love to have you be a part of the group. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Pro Wrestling Podcast. We want to give you instant reaction to what just went down on Great Balls of Fire. What an amazing pay-per-view. People made fun of the name all they want. The actual pay-per-view itself, fantastic. Not only that, after our live episode last night, it occurred to me after the episode went off the air that I forgot to give you the guys the results of the tag team tournament. Want to get you that and a few tidbits of news as well. First off, I want to get that tag team tournament out of the way right away. The winners of the first 256 tag team tournament, greatest tag team of all time by your votes, winning by one vote, Tully Blanchard, Arn Anderson, the Four Horsemen, defeating the Road Warriors. What an amazing tournament. Thank you, all of you who took the time to be voting members of the tournament. It was a lot of fun, and we will get you a new tournament opportunity coming in the next couple weeks. Big title change at Madison Square Garden. If you were listening tonight to the pay-per-view, they talked about it on WWE TV. A few people knew about it yesterday, that AJ Styles took the United States Championship from Kevin Owens. It was theorized that Owens had gotten injured, and this was a way to move the title off him, but he did work the SmackDown House show last night. So obviously it's not an injury angle. AJ Styles, the new United States champion. And the other tidbit of news before I get to the pay-per-view tonight, Leo Rush, former Ring of Honor standout, has announced he is no longer going to appear for CZW Combat Zone Wrestling because he has now signed a contract or has been offered a contract to join NXT and the WWE Performance Center. So let's get right into the Great Balls of Fire show. Starting with the kickoff show, I was a little surprised that yet again the Cruiserweight Championship match gets pushed to the undercard, the kickoff show. It's kind of a slap in the face to that division. It's really frustrating. I was looking forward to this match. Neville defending against Akira Tozawa. The match actually went over pretty well. Tozawa looked fantastic in the match. Neville always looks good. The issue I have with the match is Neville picks up the win, which is fine. Except his winning combination of moves was dropping the guy on a top rope, so he got a crotch shot, kicking the top rope, and then kicking him in the stomach and pinning him. That was the win. That was the end of the Cruiserweight Championship match, a match that's supposed to be high-flying, exciting, like the X Division in Impact Wrestling, and this came off really, really flat to do the kickoff show. So Akira Tozawa falls to Neville. Titus O'Neil is supposed to work on getting him a rematch. They announced that later on in the show, but we'll have to see how they book that Cruiserweight division. It looks like it's still, there's nobody on the roster who they seem to be putting in a position to be able to challenge Neville and take that title from him. Unless Tozawa wins it in the rematch. That would be one angle they could do. The pay-per-view itself, I'm going to go a little bit out of order. I'm just going to go match by match of, in my opinion, of what the importance was. Starting with the match that wasn't even advertised to be on the card. I'm going to throw this out there. Heath Slater faced Curt Hawkins. Heath Slater defeated Curt Hawkins. You'll find out later why that match was on the card, but I'm just going to spit that out there because you didn't even get to see the match. You got to see the guys lock up and a few little things here and there, and you didn't even get to see the end of the match, and you'll find out why as we go through these results. So Enzo versus Big Cass. This match was god-awful and terrible. Enzo got virtually no offense going. Big Cass squash win. He is obviously catapulted into the big man heel role. And I actually don't like the way they book this because it makes Enzo look so weak that it's like a one-and-done kind of feel. And that shouldn't be it for a tag team that was in WWE for the last several years. This is something where they should have had Enzo at least get some offense in so you could have at least one more match. So Cass could have won tonight. I have no problem with that. But he should have done it and taken a little more time, and Enzo could have cultivated his character a little bit as well. The Raw Tag Team Championship 30-minute Iron Man match. The champions, Sheamus and Cesaro, retain over the Hardy Boys. Now, for the people watching the show, I saw online people were getting angry. They didn't understand the finish to the match. Follow me on this. The Hardy Boys, it appears as though Sheamus is in the ring. The Hardy Boys get one of those blind tags where Jeff Hardy comes off with a swanton, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, Cesaro slides in and pins him in the closing seconds to break a 3-3 tie, giving Sheamus and Cesaro the 4-3 victory in the match. Here's the thing. What people may not have noticed, around the 52nd mark, Sheamus actually got knocked back into a turnbuckle, but off camera, Cesaro did one of those same blind tags, but people watching on pay-per-view or on the network couldn't see that tag. So people were very confused, like, what happened here? Sheamus was the legal man, the Hardys were pinning him, and the not legal man came in and made the final pin. That actually was not the case. Cesaro got a blind tag to get in the ring as well. So anybody who watched that and was a little confused, that is what happened. If you go back and rewatch that, you'll see where the blind tag takes place. Seth Rollins and Bray Wyatt actually were the kickoff match of the main pay-per-view. Solid match back and forth. I had Seth Rollins winning this match, and unfortunately, I was wrong. Seth Rollins is, at least from all the dirt sheets all over the world, supposed to be facing the world champion, or the Universal Champion, at the Survivor Series. But this match here, Bray Wyatt comes out the victor, defeating Seth Rollins in what was a relatively decent match. And nobody really had the advantage for all too long. It was back and forth. It was entertaining. It was a decent opening match. I think they have a lot more to offer. I thought they kind of got rushed a little bit. But otherwise, solid match. Nice to see Bray Wyatt pick up a win for a change, since somebody was posting all over YouTube and Facebook and all these things about Bray Wyatt's win-loss record. He's only won like 100 and some matches and lost 400 and some matches and had 10 draws. So nice to see that Bray Wyatt can get some wins under the belt every now and again as well. For the Intercontinental Championship, The Miz retains over Dean Ambrose. A lot of outside interference from his clique that he's got going on now, his Miztourage. But Dean Ambrose really looked outclassed in this entire match. He had a few high spot moments, but I'm really frustrated with the booking of Dean Ambrose as of late. I actually thought it was really smart at the beginning of the match. He was sliding out of the ring and attacking the Miztourage. If he would have eliminated them at the beginning of the match and then lost the match, I think it would have made a lot more sense and made the Miz look stronger. Instead, the Miz kind of looks weak coming out as the champion, but solid match, a typical Miz Ambrose match that we've seen since January. We're tired of seeing this. Hopefully now Ambrose can go do something else and the Miz can go find a new feud for the Intercontinental Championship with somebody like, say, a Finn Balor or somebody of that nature, who obviously they're not putting Finn Balor in a world title picture. He wasn't even on the card tonight. What a waste of talent. I said earlier that they had to throw a match into the show that wasn't even advertised. They could have put Finn Balor into the show and made a huge pop for the crowd. Instead, they threw garbage out there. So, the Raw Women's Championship. So frustrating. Sasha Banks picks up the win. It's by count out. Alexa Bliss keeps the Women's Championship. I'm fine with her keeping the title if you have a very cool angle for her coming up, probably against Nia Jax. But they had an opportunity here. Bayley's character was so hot when she came out, to the point that if you go on YouTube and watch videos when she first debuted for Raw, she couldn't even speak in interviews because people were like hijacking the shows, chanting for her, "You deserve it," and all this kind of stuff after her NXT career. Now she's fizzled. She's not as big right now. This was an opportunity for Sasha Banks to take the title, have Bayley come out to celebrate with her, and have Bayley turn on Sasha Banks and set up a major, major feud heading into SummerSlam. Instead, Alexa Bliss is still the champion, and what are you going to do? Have heel versus heel at SummerSlam? I don't think that's ever even been done at SummerSlam, especially in the women's area. So I think they made a mistake here in the booking, but Sasha Banks is the winner. So if you were betting on Sasha Banks, she was the last minute favorite, but the odds shifted right at the last minute, and that must be why. Somebody knew that she was going to win the match, just not the title. In the ambulance match, Braun Strowman defeats Roman Reigns, who you could see it coming a mile away. Roman Reigns goes for the spear. Braun moves out of the way. Roman Reigns flies into the back of the ambulance. Braun shuts the doors, and he wins. Super physical match. Great match. I actually really, really enjoyed this match. Here's my frustration. After the match is over, Roman Reigns gets out of the back of the ambulance. He waffles Braun Strowman with the doors of the ambulance, throws him into the back of the ambulance. He gets into the ambulance himself and drives it into the backstage area, where he then slams it backwards into, looked like a semi or a 18-wheeler or whatever. And Braun Strowman apparently is supposed to be dead inside. Roman Reigns gets out and just walks away. Kurt Angle comes out and he's trying to check on Braun Strowman. That's when they threw in that garbage match, Heath Slater and Curt Hawkins. So they're wrestling while they have like two screens going on so you can see what's going on with Braun Strowman. They spent about 15 minutes on Braun Strowman in this ambulance after he got crashed into a wall before they get the fire department there. They use the jaws of life to rip the door open, and then he gets out and he forces everybody to leave him alone, and he storms off limping off the screen by himself, trying, I guess, to put on that image that he's just an unstoppable tough guy who could take this ambulance accident and still keep going. The problem I have is Strowman wins the match, Roman Reigns is a sore loser and attacks him after the match, and then does this huge angle. This feud needs to end. It started in February. Get over it. Move on. It actually technically started in January. We need Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns to be over with. Braun needs to move on to Brock Lesnar. And after Roman Reigns almost kills the guy, supposedly, how can you end the feud like that? You can't. So now I expect tomorrow night on Raw, we'll see Braun Strowman versus Roman Reigns one more time, which I think is going to be ridiculous. But if that's what you got to do to get that feud to be done with and start building to Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar, so be it. And in the main event, the Raw Universal Championship, Brock Lesnar puts on one of the most bizarre matches with Samoa Joe. Joe jumps him right at the go of the match. Really great physicality. I thought these two had a lot of physical spots there. Joe really dominates Brock through the whole first, I would say, 4 or 5 minutes of the match. A lot of coquina clutches, a lot of German suplexes. At the end of the match, you see Samoa Joe lock in the coquina clutch for like the 15th time, and Brock Lesnar somehow converts that into an F5 for a pin. I don't know about you guys, but after the issue with Brock Lesnar losing to Goldberg so quickly last year at Survivor Series, his short elimination at the Royal Rumble, his short victory for the Universal title at WrestleMania, disappearing for 3 months off of television, coming back, having this match where essentially it's about an 8-minute match where Joe dominates most of the match, Brock Lesnar hits a few suplexes in an F5 and wins, that's disappointing to me for a guy who's so athletic as Brock Lesnar is. So, after the pay-per-view, a lot of the odds makers had it right. The only match, I think, that went against the odds makers was Bray Wyatt defeating Seth Rollins. Otherwise, you pretty much could have looked right down the odds sheet and you would have known exactly who was going to win each one of these matches. But, all in all, relatively decent pay-per-view. So that's our recap of Great Balls of Fire. Horrible name. Actually, relatively successful show. If you have any questions, comments, anything about the show, please call into our Talk to Text line, the Fro Life Sound Off line at 267-642-1160, and we will get to your questions and comments in our next episode. That is all the time we have for this episode. Check back with us for our Raw recap coming back on Tuesday night. Special thanks, as always, out to bensound.com and purpleplanet.com for producing all our music and sound effects used in today's show. Today's podcast was sponsored in part by Beazle Games. Bringing a new friend to family game night is easy with sketchy people. Showcase your artistic side in this new game from Beazle Games by going to frolifeplanning.com/fropodcast and clicking the tab on the right side of the page. And to alleyrepair.com, contact Alley Repair today for servicing of all of your skee-ball, pinball, and arcade game needs. Be sure to shoot over to frolifeplanning.com for all your higher education needs. College, university, or a new career path, Fro Life Educational Planning is for today, for tomorrow, and for life with Fro Life. I'm Fred Froelich, better known as Mr. Fro. I want to thank you for taking a few moments with us today to review the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view. If you want to see more news and rumors, go to tsjsports.com/WWE for the latest articles on the world of professional wrestling. Until next episode, take care, everybody. Have a great night.